darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where we're busting ghosts on a board.
Who are you gonna bust?
Who you
ghosts boards?
Who you gonna?
No.
Go back. Go back a couple episodes for that one. Hey, it's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man and friends, because the first one went so well. Normally that's sarcasm, but in this particular case, it actually isn't. The first one actually did go pretty well.
It's all the people with none of the topic.
Yeah. It did fantastic. We have the same group here we had with us when we did the Punisher Batman show. But like Asa said, we don't have a good topic tonight, but I'm sure we can dig up something. Lots of stuff happening in the world that doesn't involve Donald Trump. We don't even have to talk about Donald Trump.
We're not going
to
talk about him.
Why would you even think we're going to talk about him?
We're not going to.
Nope.
Here's the people at the show tonight that's not going to talk about Donald Trump. Of course, you have the five-star man down at the end of the table, Asa Gray.
Yes.
You have he knows I'm talking about him, so he's not looking at me. It's Ethan, Craig Miles. Hi.
Hello.
Who's getting on more shows than CJ now?
Yay.
So if you weren't already above him, we'd move you up. But aww, you are.
I really think CJ just needs to leave the cast list.
I think CJ leaves reality. Aww. Every day, if you know what I mean. And to my right, we have Alethea Abair, who also doesn't have a nickname.
Hello.
A-bomb. It's the closest thing we got. Asa, what are we talking about tonight?
The things.
So we played...
I could tell you about why you think Batman is not the best superhero and why you're wrong more. Because Young Justice Season 2 is on Netflix now, and it's good so far.
I saw a meme that it had Batman just laying down broken in front of Superman. Mm-hmm. And I said, anyone that thinks Batman could beat Superman is retarded. That was the meme. And that's the best argument I've heard for why Superman's better than Batman.
Yeah.
That's the same argument that Trump supporters... No. No.
Don't. I know you want to, but no. Legitimately... I already snapped on Dalton the other day about it.
The only reason I want to talk about it is I want to talk about it in a serious way, but I'll save it for a different show.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about it not in a funny, haha, let's make fun of Donald Trump way, but in a legitimate, do you have any idea what's going to happen? Because I've been keeping up with the results of the Super Tuesday stuff, mm-hmm. and Trump is winning in a lot of places, and that is scary. But we'll save that for another show without Asa, out of respect to Asa. Same reason we didn't do the relationship Jerry Springer show tonight with Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Though I know he really wanted to. So we're going to move on to a couple of serious topics, though. One that I saw recently that I really wanted to talk about, Pornhub.com. And anytime you have a topic that starts with Pornhub.com, you know it's going to be good. They released a map of the United States showing what each state searches for.
They do that, I feel like, every year.
This one, though, it kind of grouped them all together. You'll be happy to know that we here in Missouri... In the great state of Missouri, here at Cape Girardeau, at 709 Broadway, Gaming Grounds.
For all your Pornhub needs.
For all your Pornhub needs, the most underappreciated team in the world, we love lesbians. And I want to tell you why we love lesbians.
Was that the number one for our state?
It is. That's the biggest one in the United States, period. There's just a huge blue line that goes all the way from like California into New York. Lesbians are huge in this area. And why do we love lesbians so much? Allie?
You're going to me?
As the only woman at this table. Why do we love lesbians?
Well, I don't think I can answer that question for you. I don't go to Pornhub.
Oh, neither do I. I don't even know what it is. Is it a porn site? Ethan, as the hour and a half man...
God,
very familiar with women. Why do we love lesbians so much?
Honestly, why it's number one, I kind of want to say because gay marriage is legal now, I guess. But other than that, I honestly don't know why.
I think it's because guys like to see two women having sex.
That,
well,
yeah.
Does that sound accurate to everybody else?
Yeah.
All right.
No.
You don't see the correlation.
I do not. Okay. I'm sorry.
Also on the list are better ones. Hawaii is the only one that looks, the biggest one is Asian in Hawaii.
That makes sense.
Well,
it kind of makes sense, I guess. I'm surprised.
Would, like a lot of,
no, a lot of, there's a lot of Asians in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So they like to keep up with their own thing. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just, I guess I could see that.
There's a lot of Japanese in Hawaii.
Now what's even more interesting, some of the other answers, like they have a separation for black, because black is huge in, Louisiana. Black is huge in Louisiana. And then if you go right next door to Louisiana in, I'm sorry, in Mississippi and, Georgia, apparently, ebony is huge. What is the difference between ebony and black?
The vernacular that they use?
Yeah.
I feel like you're just picking straws. Of cartoon.
Oh.
Cartoon is huge in, looks like, what state are we in here? Tennessee and Arkansas. I'm surprised it wasn't like family in Tennessee and Arkansas.
Is that anywhere in the United States?
Well, sort of. They do have stepsister, which is really big in Montana and Wyoming. Ooh. Go figure. Stepmom all the way up in Washington and South Dakota. South Dakota apparently really loves stepmoms. Stepsister is big in Montana and also Wisconsin. Wisconsin, you dirty, dirty birds. And that's really it. It's basically cartoon, stepmom, stepsister, lesbian, and ebony. And in one little state, the state that could, which I believe is, I want to say Rhode Island. I may be reading this wrong. It's MILF.
What about Alaska?
Alaska loves stepmoms. Yeah. Probably because Sarah Palin.
Well, then that would be MILF, though, wouldn't it?
Could be both. Could be both. What it's saying is that the internet is a huge, it's got so much great potential for interactions with people, to learn about causes that you may not have known about, to share information, to share thoughts and ideas, but really we just use it to jerk off.
Well, that's like the old Scrubs joke. Dr. Cox is talking about, like, if you took all the porn off of the internet, there would only be one website left, and it would be Bring Back the Porn.
Yeah. It's true. When I first got on the internet back in 1986, completely made up term, by the way. I don't remember when I got back on the internet, when I got on the internet originally, but it was on dial up, I can assure you. And we didn't look at porn because it took forever. In fact, we didn't do much of anything on the internet back then other than go to chat rooms and pretend to be girls. That happened a couple times. Also, don't ever use your real name and phone number in a chat room. It just leads to trouble. Well, especially if your name is Shannon. So many guys. Make that mistake.
And I've seen infographics like that Pornhub one before. There's a really good subreddit called, it's r/data is beautiful. And just, that's a one, it's all sorts of stuff like that will get posted. Different trends, just like people will, they'll look like what the, like you can look up what the number one Google search by state is. Like different websites, like their traffic thing. So like when on the whatever show it was that we talked about when Fallout 4 came out and Pornhub saw like a 10% drop in their traffic or whatever that number was, like stuff like that can pop up there.
It wasn't that the porn searches went down drastically when Fallout 4 was released.
It's exactly what I just said. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was looking at something. I posted on Facebook that I'm going to be single soon. And I asked if anybody out there wouldn't leave me for you. And I was just checking out the replies. All men. All men. Except Lindsay. The rest all men. And even Lindsay just suggested Dalton.
Dalton knows he wouldn't leave you for me because I wouldn't take him.
Oh, Sick I bird. Wouldn't take him either, though. So we're just going to have to pawn him off on Billy. But Billy's gone, and Billy didn't like him anyway. The king of the peanut gallery moves to Ohio tomorrow.
Today. Oh, is it tomorrow?
He pushed it back a day because he had to get his car fixed. So I'm going to miss him like a whole bunch.
We're all going to miss him.
Billy was great.
Billy was good.
Is.
He will never listen to this, so he'll never hear us talk about how much we liked him. But we liked him. So
I wonder if he'll start listening more just because now he won't be constantly around us.
I hope so.
So like an hour a week or like whatever, 3-4 hours a week as opposed to 20 to 40 of just like listening to us just BS.
He was always – Jesse said it best today. We were messaging each other back and forth. And he said, I'm going to miss Billy because when he would laugh – like, it would verify that we were actually being funny instead of just, like, circle jerking.
That is very true. Like, because he wasn't – he didn't just laugh at everything.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't, like, the easy laugh. But it's – so it's – you knew if you – whenever you got a Billy laugh, you're like, okay.
You could really gauge how funny you were by how Billy reacted. Mm-hmm. I trusted Billy's laughter more than any of ours.
Right.
Because we're all just stupid. The dumb – Ethan were laughing about Spoderman earlier. So that shows you how classy and mature we are.
Why you do this, Shannon?
Don't make me regret giving you a microphone. We don't have anybody in the peanut gallery anymore. It used to be you and Billy.
Yep.
And now it's no one. Who will laugh at our jokes if we ever made them? Well, that's my bit. Now the grieving mother.
What? I'm not a mother. Oh, wait. I guess I kind of am. Ethan's my child.
Yay.
Plus you got Seth the turtle.
Yes, I do have my little baby turtle.
Which CJ, by the way, when we were here the other day, was talking about turtle penises. Tie this back into Pornhub.
Why? And,
well, the reason I say that is there's nothing on here that says animals.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but some of those states, I kind of feel like... Like the states that don't listen to our show.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that...
You think that they would fuck
it doesn't mean
animals.
That no one. It doesn't mean that no one is searching that. It just means that the majority aren't, which is good because there is also not a majority of states looking up, like, child or underage or jailbait.
I was just about to say, thank God they didn't look up
child. But I think it's because, like... And honestly, I think it's because it is Pornhub. I don't think they allow... Either well, I mean, they definitely don't allow child pornography.
Well, they don't allow it on the site, but that's not to say that people wouldn't search for it.
Yeah. But I guess that's true. They could search Pornhub for it and then just see that it's now results.
But I feel like, and I'm not trying to get into
which is a good thing because it's like that's the kind of illegal stuff that they don't want to host or distance themselves from as like a legitimate company.
And I don't want to be. Like, sound like I advocate child porn or anything, but why would you be stupid enough to look that up? Like, who would go to a search engine and look up child porn?
The kind of people that are sick enough in the head to think it's okay to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the kind of correlation there. You know, like, okay, go and look, you know, those old Dateline NBC, like, To Catch a Predators.
Yeah.
How many times are like, we saw you the last time we did this?
Multiple times.
Like, people showed up multiple times, or it was their umpteenth offense, which feels like that shouldn't be
that
you get umpteen offenses for.
I have a question for you. We were talking about we need a topic because, in the interest of fairness and full disclosure, Asa, myself, Ethan, Tanner, and Calvin, who works here at the store, instead of preparing for the show, we played the Ghostbusters board game.
Yes.
Now, to make you proud of us, we did clear the first scenario.
We won.
We won. We beat all the ghosts. Well, we closed all the portals. Yeah. But one thing I've always wondered about porn. So let's talk about porn. Can we talk about porn? Allie, you're going to be real glad you grabbed a microphone for this one. I have always seen pornography and pornographic actors as a bit of prostitutes. And I know that's the old argument of what is the difference between a prostitute and a pornographic actor. But what do you think? If you are paid to have sex, does that not make you a prostitute?
My response to that is who cares? No one's making you do it. No one's making you watch it or participate. It's the same as gay marriage. Like, I'm not going to do it, but that doesn't mean that other people shouldn't.
You don't think that – do you not put a difference between gay marriage and pornography? Like, everyone says that gay marriage could ruin the culture and the morals of the nation, which I don't agree with, obviously.
Yeah,
that's a stupid argument. But do you think porn does do that?
I'm not saying that – pornographic actors deserve the same, like – I don't know how to phrase this.
Should they even be called actors?
Yeah. Because it's not like those, it's not, you know, a 45 minute scene is not just 45 minutes of filming. Like, that's an all day thing. There's multiple takes and cuts and there's a lot of behind the scenes work. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't be called actors.
I guess I just have a personal grudge against that particular type of thing. I don't know. I've always hated it. I've always hated pornography and strippers and stuff like that. I've never gone to a strip club. and I know you're going to jump on me for saying this, but I always had a problem with the thought that, like, my mother, who worked her whole life just working, she worked as a waitress, she worked at whatever she could do to keep food on the table, and that she would make less in a year than a stripper could make in a couple of weeks just for taking her clothes off in front of people. That offended me. And that still offends me to this day. And I don't think it's fair. And I know, I'm going to get shit for it.
Well, no, I'm not going to give you shit for it.
It's their
because,
job.
Like, I mean,
sure,
I could,
it's their job.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, it is. Like, it's their job. They're making the choice. Like, if it's something that they don't necessarily even want to do, but they're doing it because the money's good, then, like, that's why I work the job I work at, is because it's easy for me to do relatively. And I hate it. And it does feel very degrading a lot of the time.
Is it less degrading than taking your clothes off for men who go there just to, you know, throw money at you?
Maybe. Sometimes.
You
I don't
think
know.
So?
It's pretty awful a lot of the time. The way people treat serfs, like waitstaff and other, just anyone that they perceive as being lower than them because they can afford to go to a restaurant, is pretty eye-opening. The same people that come into GameStop during tax time that think that because they got the $400 for a new Xbox, they're king of the world.
So they have to return it a couple days later.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had to ask John about that. We had to deal with that quite a bit. And we're at tax time right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm aware.
Thankfully, we don't see it as much here because we don't have anything to sell. That's the plus of that. I don't know.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I don't really understand why it's like that's what they choose to do. There's clearly a demand for it. It's not like they're...
Because sex is the oldest profession.
It's not like they're...
Is what I've heard.
But how did they pay for it then?
How did they pay for the sex
in
the oldest profession? Maybe they weren't...
Which came
maybe
first?
Maybe they weren't selling it for money.
It was barter system.
It was like the engagement ring video we watched earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's bullshit and... But back in the old days, they give you an apple instead of an engagement ring to marry. Yep. Maybe instead of giving money for sex, they would give them a banana. And then they could use the banana in the act.
God damn
it. I've never had a problem with it. It's not like, I know, but at the same time, like, I'm not a super huge advocate for it. Like, I'm not going to go around and, like, if someone said, no one can do porn anymore, I'm not going to, you know, take to the streets and protest. But.
Well, it's not just porn. There are so many aspects of the United States and of what we value.
But I will say the difference between pornographic actors and, like, actual, like, prostitutes is the just absolute insane amount of regulation that goes into pornography.
Now.
But I mean, even dating back to, like...
A couple years ago, there was the big AIDS scare where one performer was having sex because they weren't testing as much as they are now. It's like the wellness policy in the WWE. Mm. Once the bad thing happened, all of a sudden they realized we need to get straight.
I mean, there's always been a level of it that even that just prostitution just absolutely does not have because it's illegal. And I don't know why, but that's the reason that I assume that it remains illegal still is just because of
the
difficulty in regulation.
Do you think it should be legal?
Honestly, yeah. Like, I don't really see why it's not. If it's too, as long as it is, like, cause don't get me wrong, like, you guys talked about, you know, the sex trade slave or the sex slave trade.
Yeah.
That stuff is abhorrent and terrible, and absolutely those people have just a special place in whatever version of hell you choose to believe in. But, like, if it's two consenting adults that say, I want to have sex with you, will you accept X amount of dollars for me to have sex with you? And they say, yes, I will accept that. Then I don't, as long as, like, I see why it's not because, you know, who's to say that either party doesn't have something that they could then give to someone else? But otherwise, like, what two consenting adults do to each other that does not intrinsically harm themselves or anyone else around them? Who cares?
Do you think it's because it can't be taxed?
Probably.
No, legitimacy.
It would be kind of just because it is such like it's not. It's absolutely not a Christian nation, but like the majority of
it's
people,
a moral,
especially lawmakers,
quote-unquote nation.
Yeah, it's like a moral nation, but it's the morals based on Christianity. Like it's hard to see, you know, Colorado. Well, they legalized marijuana and they're doing a great job of taxing it and putting so much money towards their schools. And just the state itself, like, all right, we're gonna go to Colorado for a government sanctioned brothel.
But
like,
see,
I don't see that happening.
I feel like it's so much harder to regulate the sex industry and to tax it because any single person could make money on it at any single time without needing any product for it. Like with marijuana or anything like that, you have to have a product to sell. You have to have things involved. Prostitution, you literally, like you said, I'll give you this amount of money for sex. Sure. Any person could do it.
Right.
Men, women, kids, it doesn't matter.
You know, kids.
No, but they could
not do that.
They could do it.
They could try, but then that would be the problem where, because again, it's the consenting adults part that you really got to hit
hard.
Yeah,
but I mean, you're not stupid. And, I mean, of course you're not stupid, but you're not blind enough to think that kids don't involve themselves in prostitution for money.
No.
And they could.
But that's what I'm saying. Viably. If it's, I mean, they could now. They can now. It's just, if it were happened to go to like a government sanctioned thing, they would not be able to. If they did, it would still be illegal.
Right, but they would still do it.
Because you still have to go outside of the.
But they would still do it, is what I'm saying. Like,
I mean,
maybe they could.
It
is a part of a bigger problem, I feel like, with just America in general. What we value and what we give money to. I've said it before, and I'm sure you feel the same way, or at least I hope you feel the same way. The fact that teachers and not doctors, they make a pretty good amount. Teachers especially, though, firefighters, cops, the people that protect us and teach us and do the most make so little and are so unappreciated, whereas celebrities, sports stars, and stuff like that make so much money. And I think if we've talked about it before, and I don't think you were on my side, because a lot of people will say, well, they bring money in to other things. You know, a star, a name will bring in money. He has his job. There's a reason he's paid so much. But I still feel like it's so skewed against the people that really matter.
It is absolutely skewed. And that's kind of like, not to get back to the politics of it, but like this election seems to be really heavy on like tax dollars going to something other than just the multi-billion trillion dollar war machine. Like, we don't necessarily need to be paying for these wars that we shouldn't be in. Why can't they go to fixing our infrastructure, going to paying teachers more, you know, making sure that you don't have to choose between dying or getting the health treatment that you need because you can't afford it. Like, I think that's, you know, a big thing that will happen in the general election once we get there. But no, I absolutely agree with you that, you know, every single teacher and doctor and firefighter and policeman deserve to be paid more than whatever, like, not, insert sports star here.
Not every single teacher. I can think of at least one.
Well, no, yeah, but just in general, the people that are doing that kind of good work to
deserve
more. To actually like better society. And I'm not saying that like entertainment and sports don't have their place, because when you look at, you know, the statistics of districts with like after school programs for the arts or for sports, it gives kids, like, especially like at-risk kids, it gives them something to do that is to put, you know, any sort of energy that they have in a productive place, as opposed to, you know, turning to drugs, gains, alcohol, you know, self-destructive or destructive means.
What about pornography as getting paid more than teachers and firefighters and cops?
It's all lumped into the entertainers, because that's what they're entertainers.
Ethan, what do you think about that?
I was about to say, I just think we just value entertainment more than our safety, at least it feels like it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Entertainment is if you look at any website, any newspaper, any CNN, usually the top stories are what so-and-so did. You know, it's not so much of here's this horrible thing happening in this part of the country. Here's this horrible thing happening in this part of the world. Usually what you lead off with is Kanye West at it again.
Well, because we want to feel good about ourselves. We don't want to feel terrible.
I don't think it's even so much you want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel better about yourself at the expense of other people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so much of, well, seeing him makes me feel good about myself. No, it's seeing him fail makes me feel like I don't fail as bad. Or you're just a drama whore and that's what you like to see.
Which I mean, there's entire networks dedicated to stuff like that now, so.
Most of them. I don't know.
I mean, like, just specifically, like, entertainment, like E! And Bravo and all that.
I don't know if you kids can remember, but at one point, MTV actually did play music videos. I remember those days.
I so love the art. Like, someone posted a video about, like, why doesn't MTV play music videos anymore? And they just tear them apart.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because it's, like, because the videos were really poorly rated. So if you want the network to stay on. Also, the generation that is always complaining about MTV no longer playing music videos is the generation that stopped buying music.
It's true.
So.
Plus, I mean, with YouTube, mm-hmm. why watch a TV show and hope your video comes up when you can just go online and watch it instantly?
Right.
Over and over again.
I'll send you that video because it's pretty, the guy just gets like vicious with it and it's entertaining.
Allie, what do you think about entertainment versus,
I mean.
Versus people.
Versus people.
You know, the argument that should teachers be paid more? Is it unfair?
Teachers are very underpaid.
They're very underpaid, but they don't make money. Is the argument. The teachers don't pull in advertisement. They don't pull in money for other organizations.
No, they're government employees most of the time, unless it's a private school. And, but that's still, there's a lot of things that don't make money, but still find a way to pay people properly. There's a lot of organizations that are nonprofits are still able to pay people properly.
Like churches.
Churches or other charity organizations. And the reason you want to pay people properly is so that they work. It's hard if you are underpaying someone, they're not going to be motivated to work as well.
That's why communism didn't work.
Okay.
Sorry, I just wanted to jump in there with that.
I mean, remember whenever all like the McDonald's employees wanted to raise? Part-time McDonald's employees wanted to raise. And they wanted to raise to the point where they would be making more money than people like, they would initially be making more money than a lot of service people in the world. And
a lot of more people than anybody, really.
Something that a lot of people leave out when they talk about McDonald's employees wanting $15 an hour is they're talking about not just McDonald's as a corporation only paying their employees $15 an hour, which, like, I'm sure the people at McDonald's would love that. They're talking about raising the minimum wage.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you raise the minimum wage, if you say, you know, you're making $9 an hour now, minimum wage is $7.25, if they raise the minimum wage to $15, you're not going to be stuck making $9 an hour. That means you also get that $15 an hour.
Yeah, but it also means that places like this, like places like Gaming Grounds, would go out of business almost immediately.
Lonnie doesn't have to pay us minimum wage right now.
But who would
work it? He already doesn't have to.
I know, but who would work it is what I'm saying.
Probably the same people that already work it for less than minimum wage.
I mean, if minimum wage is seven...
I think it's $7.25, $7.50,
and you're making $7. I could see staying because you like the job. You're taking a hit, but you like the job. But if minimum wage is $15 and you're still making $7.25, who would do that?
Or if all the people that came in now were making $15 an hour and they're not having to be like, how much is this game? $10? I can't afford that.
But don't you think they would still be that way though?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
People are like dragons. They hoard money.
What happens a lot of the time is whenever you raise.
Oh, no, they don't. We are in the middle of tax season.
Yeah, but that's tax season.
And you just say,
That's when you get a large lump of sum at once and go, here's extra money for you to spend. Not, here's extra money on your paycheck month to month.
It's the same thing with, like, the people who win the lottery. Like, they immediately go bankrupt. Or, like, look at sports figures or wrestlers. Like, they are accumulating a great amount of money over years. And as soon as that stops, that's when they go broke because they don't hoard it. They just spend recklessly.
So you think that if we raise the minimum wage to 15, that it will not hurt smaller businesses, that people will have more money to spend, so you have more money in the store, that you have more money to pay your employees?
I think that's the theory that goes with it. Again, I was a criminal justice major. I don't know jack about economics.
I did journalism. I don't know anything about anything.
But that doesn't sound completely wrong. But like if people are making more money.
Wouldn't you also imagine if minimum wage goes up, so does the price of almost everything else?
Probably.
I just want someone to disprove that, or at least they argued that that wouldn't happen.
Well, I know there was a thing with Walmart because everyone's like, oh, poor Walmart. If they paid their employees a living wage, then, you know, they might have to close stores because they'll be losing however much money. And then someone came along and was like, actually, if they raised the price of their the great value mac and cheese by like 6 cents a box, they would have enough money to pay their employees so where they wouldn't have to be on welfare.
When I worked at Stephen Berry's, I don't know if you guys remember Stephen Berry's very much.
Yeah.
I know you probably do.
Mm-hmm. They had the terribly, terrible t-shirts.
They had terrible everything. And I still have a jacket from there, though, and I still wear it occasionally. Now it's a vest because we took the sleeves off. Not because I wanted to be like Mac, but because it was so torn apart after so many years. But they had made so much money. When I first started working there, they made so much money on the we're cheap route. Mm-hmm. Like everything was $7, $8, I forget what it was, jackets, all that stuff. The moment they introduced higher priced items by a couple of dollars, it went out of business. people were so against even the smallest raise in price at a place that they were used to a certain price that they literally went out of business within months and still owe $1,000 to someone I know. So I think that if you do that, there is a danger that people will stop shopping there. Now, if everybody does it, you don't really have a choice. You have to buy stuff somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I buy into the whole, if you raise the price, if everybody makes more money, the more money is going to circulate. I don't know. I still feel like a place like this where we have to make a certain amount per day just to stay afloat and we barely make that. If you all of a sudden have to pay all your employees more, it's a huge gamble. And I think most small businesses will just close. Like, you know, Lonnie would just close as opposed to taking that risk, which would put all of us out of the job. Well, I mean, it put me out of the job because I work here full time. Mm-hmm. This is my lifeblood. You know, I guess I could go work for McDonald's. It'd be $15 an hour.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm saying to you. No, like, I'm looking right at you because you're right across the table. That's not a threat or a challenge to you in any way. I'm just, you know.
But I mean, I also, at the same token, if it is a risk, then that means that the people who actually do it could end up profiting even more.
Like,
it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to go negative. It could go positive. But again, I don't know what I'm talking about because I know nothing about economics.
None of us know what we're talking about. That's why we have a podcast. Exactly. We just come on here and lie. All right, you want to talk about something happier?
Depends what it is,
what's
Shannon.
Happier?
Happier is Leonardo DiCaprio won his Oscar finally.
Finally.
Yep.
We can talk about that.
He should have won with What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Was it? No, that was a Nerd Up that we went through the list.
Yeah, I heard at the very end of the night because at the end of the show you guys announced it.
Well, and it was because we announced that Leonardo DiCaprio had won, but there was an episode before that talking about it.
Yeah, I remember hearing that
episode. And that was the one that the audio cut out in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Oh, was that the one we were here for?
Yeah,
we
I think so. Over there.
Because we ran through, like, Jesse pulled up the list of all of the movies that Leonardo DiCaprio was nominated for an Oscar and lost it. And I think we kind of came to the consensus that every time he lost it,
it was for a good reason.
It went to someone that deserved it more.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the same kind of thing with, I think, when Martin Scorsese won. Did Martin Scorsese win for Departed?
I think so, but I'm not 100%
sure. Best director or something?
Yeah.
Because that, it was fairly recently that he got his first Oscar.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where, and this is why I really don't like the Oscars, is because The Departed might not have been the best movie of the year, but the Academy, whoever that is, decided that, well, he's made so many great films and has done so many great contributions that it's just his turn now to win. He may not have deserved it this particular year, but he absolutely deserves some sort of...
He deserved it 2 years ago, but we couldn't give it to him.
He deserves some sort of recognition for consistently putting out these really great films.
Do you think that's what they did with Leo DiCaprio? Did you see The Revenant?
No.
We saw it, and it was good. It was really good.
But the amount of acting he had to do with very little words being said... Because if you've seen the movie, he's in pain through it all.
Yeah, he's out of it most of the time. Yeah.
Well, and so, that's like the joke that I liked about someone was summarizing The Revenant, and it was like go through the struggles of what a man will do to finally win an Oscar. Because those movies where, you know, like Christian Bale and The Machinist, when people put their body through just actual hell for the process of a movie.
Charlize Theron and Monster.
Yeah.
Halle Berry and Monster's Ball. I mean, they didn't put themselves through it, but Charlize Theron, obviously, she lost the makeup. She looked ugly, was the thing. Halle Berry got naked.
And how screwed up is it that the biggest draw to a movie is like, oh, look what Charlize Theron looks if she was ugly.
If she was
like,
normal.
Because it was a really good movie.
It was. But, so was Monster's Ball.
But it wasn't marketed as like, hey, come watch this really good movie. It was almost like, hey.
See this transformation.
Right.
Kind of like you just said.
Machinist?
Yeah, Machinist with Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that movie and it was legitimately like, oh my God.
I
can't believe he did that.
And didn't he go from The Machinist to Batman Begins?
Yeah, he bulked up like almost immediately, right back up. Has anyone seen The Machinist? Like he dropped down to what, 120 pounds or something?
He was a rail. Like you could see ribs
bones
and,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he goes and does just jacked up for Batman.
But he's never won an Oscar, has he?
I'm not sure.
Christian Bale?
Again, I don't...
He definitely didn't win for The Machinist, which I kind of thought was unfair, but, you know.
I still think Leo should have won with What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
He should have won for a lot of
movies. Well, it's one of his first movies. He convinced everyone that saw it that he was actually mentally handicapped until they saw him on the red carpet. and they realize, no.
Like, wait, he's in... But wasn't he in something before Gilbert Grape? Like, wasn't he on, like, a TV show?
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, didn't he have, like, a small part in some, like, random sitcom as, like, a child?
Probably. I mean, there are so many actors that had their starts.
Because there's... Because it's he and... I want to say it's, like, Jake Gyllenhaal, maybe? Or Tobey Maguire? It's what, like, someone like that are, like...
This sounds familiar.
They're, like, childhood friends because they met on the set of something. Mm. Or they were both grew up child actors or something.
I'm looking
that
it up right now.
That doesn't necessarily mean that most people would remember him, though, from that. And just... playing someone with a mental disability when you don't have it and making it believable is difficult.
I know it's super offensive. I know it is. But when you know where I'm going with this,
don't
you?
Yeah, I
do. Whenever I hear that, the first thing that pops in your head is, Ethan, you know where I'm going with this?
No.
Okay. It's from,
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder. You never go full. R word. I don't even really want to
say. You already
it.
Dropped it earlier.
Yeah, but I did it in a mocking way. I guess this is just quoting. You never go full retard.
Yeah.
Which is a stupid saying, but Ethan's showing Allie something.
It's the...
Oh my God, yes. Oh,
yeah.
Get that out of my sight. It's Christian Bale and the Machinist.
Yeah.
So skinny. I thought he should have won for Django. His role in Django...
I still haven't seen Django.
I keep forgetting you've never seen Django.
Because and again, like, I know we've talked about it before, but it's that I have such bad, like, I can't hold, a movie doesn't really hold my attention when I'm at home, because I want to be on my phone, I want to start playing my 3DS, like, I want to start doing, like, I'll pull up Mario Maker on the Wii U pad, like, there's other stuff that I want to be doing, and then especially, and every time that I'm like, I want to watch Django Unchained, it's like 11:30, and I'm like, I have to be at work in less than 12 hours, and it's a 3-hour movie almost.
But his role in that as Calvin Candy was so fearless. Like, I never use that term when describing actors generally in a role, because it's acting. It's like, that's what you're supposed to do. But the way he embraced the racism and just the offensiveness of the role.
Well, you've seen some, like, you've heard some of those backstage, like, some of the behind the scenes stories about that, didn't you? He was so incredibly uncomfortable.
He didn't want to do it. Yeah.
And it took Samuel L. Jackson just, like, shaking him and being like, no, just,
jump into it.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
It's like, no, everyone here knows you're an actor in a role.
Yeah.
You know, it is a terrible thing, but, you know, you're not him. Like, you're saying these things, but it's not like we're going to look at you sideways for it.
But there's a lot of times that those roles can kind of consume you. Like, obviously the easiest one to point to is Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Right.
That he became so self-destructive and so he tried to get into the role so much that a lot of people say it killed him. So I could see being worried about that. Like, if you go so far for a role.
And Heath Ledger was always kind of a method actor like that, which I don't know if Leonardo DiCaprio.
I can imagine him being.
I mean, just seeing
the movies he's in.
I could see either way.
Yeah.
It's Daniel Day-Lewis. I can't remember who told the story, but because Daniel Day-Lewis is a hardcore, like, you can only refer to him as his character's name on set. Like, he doesn't make friends on set. He is totally 100% the character. And it's because he looked up to this other actor, and I can't remember his name or who even told this story, but, like, his lifelong dream came true, and he was in a play or something with that actor that he had spent years looking up to and modeled his career after. And he gets up on stage, and then he sees the other actor just, like, practice the line and just be like, okay, and then he did this, and then he did this, and it just shattered his heart. Like, it just completely baffled him that this person that he'd modeled his career actor didn't do the same thing that he did.
That he just recited the lines as he learned them.
He just assumed that because of, you know, how good he is, that he, you know, really embraced the character, became the character.
Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis is another one of those just incredible actors. I think has won an Oscar for, I think, at least for There Will Be Blood. Leo was way
overdue.
That's
another movie I still haven't seen.
I haven't either, actually. I remember when it came out, the Blu-ray sleeve was literally just a sleeve.
Yeah.
And I thought it was bootleg at first.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it and going, this doesn't seem right. This is literally just a sleeve. But I don't know if it was supposed to tie into the message of the movie or if they were just being cheap with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
The other big thing from the Oscars, other than Leo winning, was the backlash against the almost complete dismissal of black roles and portrayals in film for the year. I don't think almost not a single black actor was nominated.
I was going to say there was a big uproar when the nominations were listed.
Because Straight Outta Compton didn't even get nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people are like, well, that's a rap movie. Who cares? But it's a great movie, and it's about one of the most influential groups in the history of the United States. I mean, they really... I mean, if you... Again, a lot of people that I know weren't alive in that time period, and I was very young myself... But they cause such an impact on society and culture mm-hmm. that to completely ignore their contributions, whether or not you agreed with their message or not, is ridiculous. And the fact that they weren't nominated, it's crazy. And they weren't even invited to the Oscars, the cast. That's insulting. So they said, Chris Rock, don't host, you know, because I think Will Smith and what's her name?
Jada
mm-hmm. said, don't go because they're ignoring us. Chris Rock did host, and then he just kind of, beat up the Oscars a little bit with their what is it called? Whitewashing mm-hmm. of the Oscars.
Well, whitewashing is more like you take a typically like ethnic character and then cast it and like that,
the Egypt.
Yeah.
Movie.
Oh, Gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
They invited Stacey Dash on the stage.
I don't know who that is.
See, a lot of people say that. You don't remember Clueless? The black girl.
Okay.
Who's now a hardcore Republican who wants to get rid of Black History Month. Because she says it's offensive because we're in White History Month.
So does Morgan Freeman. Like, Morgan Freeman takes a
pretty... Is that true? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he takes a pretty strong stance against it because his argument is that Black history is American history.
It's true.
And whenever you separate it and point it out, like you shine a light on it's Black History Month, then that just, while the intention might be good that, you know, oh, we're celebrating all of these Black people, leaders, and people who've made great contributions to society, you're also then pointing out that it's different.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you did all of this.
You are still
separating
it.
But you're still different. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the basis for the Black Lives Matter movement, too?
Less so because, like, with Black History Month, it's like, yeah, you are celebrating it. And it's, you know, you're taking the time to point out all of these contributions. And I just read something on Facebook that was really good about how, imagine there's six people at a table. Everyone gets food except for Bob. Bob says, Bob deserves food. Everyone else responds with, everyone deserves food. But Bob still doesn't get any food. Like, it makes it more sense reading it, and that's like a really short.
Yeah. No,
like,
I got convoluted. It. No, I get you.
But it's just like, I think when you point out, as you're doing, whenever it's positive, like if you're pointing out all of the achievements that, you know, Black people have made and all of the contributions that they've made, you're still like, oh yeah, you did great for a Black guy.
Yeah.
I think that's
kind of a backhanded compliment.
And again, like this is just what I think they might mean when they say that, also, as opposed to Black Lives Matter being a, hey, we as a people have consistently been shit on.
Yeah.
And we are being treated differently and poorly, and that it's, you know, this is not acceptable anymore.
Yeah, and
so I would say that's what I think the difference is.
I've said this before and everybody looks at me funny. I hate the Black Lives Matter movement. I do. Because what that says is that Black lives matter, but only when taken by white people. Because if you look at these stats and the numbers of how much Black on Black crime, even if some people don't want to say Black on Black crime is a thing, it is. How much inner city crime is a problem that no one pays attention to, that no one gives credit to.
I think it's because they focus more on, like, especially like the white police officers, because that's really what it which is what it came from. I think it's because as a race, you know, Black people have been given an absolute terrible run, like going all the way back to the slave trade, which, you know, oh, the first slave owner was Black, whatever. Like, it's a thing that I've read too many times.
Now, somebody said it on our show, and I can't remember. I think it was Kyrgyz. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that started the Zach is racist.
Yeah.
Well, they're not getting into that, but like, so Black people have consistently and systematically been persecuted and treated differently and poorly by white people. And so I think that's why again, this isn't opinion. And this is just like, I think it's because the Black Lives Matter is mostly focusing on the, you know, cause say what you will, like the white people as the majority population hold most of the power when it comes to law, like legislation and judicial things and policing. I don't know what I'm rambling now.
No, I get what you're saying.
So I think the Black Lives Matter thing it's really focusing on the treatment of Black people by white people because the white people have been in charge for so long and they're the ones that are really responsible for it. They're not completely dismissing, at least I don't think, I don't know. They're not completely dismissing the fact that there is Black on Black crime. Well, it's just people need to be more aware of the fact that, hey, this is something that's been systematic and so put on for so long.
But you say that the white people hold all the power, and you're not wrong. I mean, clearly, I mean, you can say what you want, but white people are, I don't even know if we're the majority of the population, but we still hold all the cards.
I think we still are, but it's like, I think it's within,
it's
slow, like,
it's going.
Yeah, it's piece by piece. It's gonna change soon.
But the black people that are together in the black communities that are killing each other, because they are killing each other. If you look at Chicago, if you look at all these big cities in the inner cities, it is so prevalent and no one talks about it. And I hate that, that you shine a light on here's what white people do to black people, which they are doing. Don't get me wrong. But then you ignore of what we do to each other. You know,
I have to imagine it's because, you know, the trickle down effect, maybe, like, if, okay, we fixed this problem, that maybe now that, you know, I don't know.
I think it's all ratings. It's all what. It's like, go back to Heath Ledger.
Yeah, the Joker.
Yeah, like, where he said if, you know, something happens, it's all part of the plan, but if you do this, yeah. And it's absolutely true.
A gangbanger kills a gangbanger. No one cares.
All part of the plan. No one cares. But if a gangbanger kills a 7-year-old kid, no one cares. No one bats an eye. Al Sharpton doesn't go to Chicago to talk about it. He doesn't condemn this community for it. But if a white guy kills a black person, he's there at every rally preaching no justice, no peace.
And I will say,
where's the justice for the people that he's ignoring?
But I do think that,
because there's no TV crews around. That's why.
Well, it's because there's no TV crews around. But like, I know for a fact that I have seen like press conferences held about the inner city crime problem. Like, public.
As a whole.
As a whole, but like, certain instances lead to it. So, you know, especially if like a small child, like a child is caught in the crossfire of something. It's a couple years ago, something like that. I can't remember where.
It happened in Chicago not too long ago. And there was a big thing about it.
Well, this was a couple years, like, I'm talking years ago. Well,
that's how bad it is. It happens all the time.
No, yeah. And I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm just saying that, like.
And that's.
People are trying to do something about it. Just that effort is being outshined by
the
people
media.
Doing something about this other problem over here.
But by the media and the people that shine a light, because it's easier to protest that than it is to admit we have a problem with ourselves.
I don't think anyone's really denying that. Like,
no one's talking about it. That's what's frustrating.
I think
me.
People are talking about it. They're just not being heard. Like, it's because it all goes back to the media showing
it all goes
what
back
they
to the
show.
Media. Absolutely right.
Didn't you actually talk to someone who is for the Black Lives Matter campaign, that black on black crime?
Yeah, he's a black man I've known for many, many years, and he is a part of that crime because he thinks that if you say black on black crime, it condemns a certain part of it from a bigger black crime. Why isn't it just crime? It's because we're black that it has to be this way. To which I said, well, don't you think Black Lives Matter, where you're condemning black people being killed by white cops and not talking about other white people that are killed by white cops, that you're isolating it and doing the exact same thing? And he refuses. Their reply to that was literally no. No justification, no explanation, just no. And because I'm white, my opinion doesn't matter on it, and that's what they'll tell me, because they have told me that.
Well, and I'll say, like, I think that's a certain sect of it that kind of has bastardized this cause. Like, they've been able to leech on and then focus on themselves, really, and, like, hear themselves talk, as opposed to really trying to institute
any kind of
change.
Like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the talking heads.
Because that is another thing where it's like, I don't agree with the fact that my opinion doesn't count because I'm a straight white male that, you know, has never been but I will say, like, I've never been oppressed.
Yeah.
Like, no one has told me that I can't go do something because of who I am based on gender, religion, or anything like that.
If I have, it's only been due to, social class. I've been oppressed socially.
Well, yeah.
By my class. But I lived in a trailer.
But so I don't think.
Ethan raised his hand.
But that doesn't mean, like.
No, he just flushed his hair. Sorry.
But so just because, like, I haven't experienced it firsthand doesn't mean that I can't recognize it as it's happening to someone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I think the social class, honestly, like, I would say the biggest divide in this country right now is the social class. Like, that is just a huge.
It's the reason O.J. Simpson, you know, got away with murder. It's not, I mean, if it was a racial thing, he's black. He should have been convicted, but he's also rich and he got off.
Only color that matters is green.
Absolutely true.
But so it's one of those things where it's like, I can recognize it when it happens, and I can, you know, I like to think that if presented an opportunity to do something about it, like whether it be raise awareness or something like that, I would take that opportunity. But I mean, and you know, there are people mostly online that are absolutely not associated with any of these movements that will say, oh, you can't do that because of who you are.
And that really bugs me. I'm like,
right. And that's
because I was born this way. means that I can't.
You don't have a dog in the fight.
Right.
They are also only saying that because your opinion differs from theirs. If you would go up to someone and share their exact opinion, they'd be like, oh, you know.
No, there's people that will say, like, well, while you're agreeing with me, you don't get to. Like, it doesn't matter because of who you are. And again, that's like an almost strictly, entirely online, just like people who are not actually with the real cause. They're only doing it for attention and to stir the pot because they're internet trolls that don't have anything better to do.
Like a lot.
Lower middle class to lower class. I don't even know where I fall anymore.
Like, I don't either. I thought I knew.
I'm not really in a place to really affect any kind of real change other than, you know, raising awareness and talking about these things. But I don't know. I'm rambling again.
Talking about a problem, a situation, bringing awareness to people who maybe want to ignore it or don't really know about it because they don't watch the news or whatever they are on the internet. It has nothing to do with that can do something because the more people that think about it, the more solutions come about and more creative solutions that might actually fix something are realized.
If you watch the news, you're pretty much guaranteed to not see the stuff that affects the world unless it's got a big name on it, because we do have to talk about Kanye West and, you know, stuff that's going to bring people into view, because nobody wants to be depressed. So they don't watch the news for the news anymore. That's why you have to go online to get the news, like real news. But that's a whole other story.
There's also news that's just put up there because it's depressing, because it will catch people's eyes. It's like whenever you drive if you drive past an accident, you slow down, not because you don't want to hit someone who's worried about the accident, because you want to know what happened.
To be fair, I don't do that.
No, yeah, rubbernecking in general is just really dangerous.
Yeah, like, I made a conscious decision to never do that. So when I drive by, if I see a wreck, I purposely don't look.
Yeah.
Like, I have to force myself to.
You stay alert of what your surroundings are, because there are a lot of people that aren't paying attention to the road anymore. They're paying attention to what happened.
Mm-hmm. And you do want to look. Don't lie. You want to look. Yeah. You want to see what happened. But I just...
Well, there's just an innate curiosity to be a person. Yeah.
To figure things out. To see what's happening.
But I mean, she mentioned it perfectly, like... News journalists know that, like, it's something super violent or terrible will be a great ratings grab. No one's talking about the firefighter that pulled out, you know, six people by himself, and saved their lives when a kid shot up his classroom. Like, those kind of stories always get pushed to the very end of the broadcast as, like, the fluff piece.
I know you don't want to talk about Donald Trump, and we're not going to. We're actually about to wrap it up here in a second. But I thought about this today when Jesse sent me this thing about he's been all over the Donald Trump Reddit, and he's been, like, the John Oliver piece especially, he posted it and was like, hey, how can you guys, you know, dispute this? I want to hear your thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they attacked him, because that's what – when people disagree with you, that's what they do. They attack you.
Right.
But I thought to myself, the only thing I'm going to say about Trump – I just have to say it before I forget it, mm-hmm. because I almost thought it was clever and I'm probably completely wrong – is the people that say Donald Trump, because he says what he thinks and he doesn't have a censor or anything like that. Nobody owns him and all blah, blah, blah. Imagine Donald Trump on a playground. And you know what Donald Trump would be? A bully. More or less. He's the guy that says what he wants, who pushes people around because he can. And if, let's say he's the leader of a group and he's pushing the wrong kid around. That kid has an assault rifle at home. The kid comes to school the next day and shoots up the school because he got bullied by this guy. Now imagine that the kid's not a kid with an assault rifle, but a country with an army or nuclear weapons. Do you really want Donald Trump bullying other countries and constantly trash talking them and saying what he thinks, quote unquote, when people could fight back?
He might be saying what he thinks, but he's not thinking long term.
No, well, that doesn't qualify you to be president.
And that's one of the things that John Oliver said in his video, is that, yeah, he might just fly off the cuff and say what he wants about something, but it's easy to do that when you don't have any power, because he doesn't have any power right now.
No.
And how do you know what he's saying is actually what he thinks and not what maybe someone else is telling him to? He's an actor. He's done acting stuff. Yeah. He
was in the video for Ghostbusters 2, Bobby Brown, on our own. Makes me sad every time I watch it now.
One of my professors was like, here's a commercial where he is trying to throw pots on a pottery wheel. He's an actor. Someone could very easily be telling him these things, knowing there are many people that are going to hear you, might not necessarily agree with you, but like that you are willing to just say whatever you want. Even if you like him for that reason, might not even be true.
And that's all we'll say about Donald Trump, I swear. Yeah. Sorry. I want to get that thought out of my head before.
Well, and I'll say this because the reason that we're not talking about it is because I distinctly hate talking about Donald Trump because I do not find it funny or entertaining, or there's no positive to it. This is just something that is dividing the country. It's the future of our nation. I don't think it's a joke. I don't think it should be taken lightly. And just this rah-rah, oh, he says what he wants, so he, you know, yeah, let's build the wall. It's destructive. It's fueled by nothing but hatred, and that's not the direction that I want the country to go. And so when people just constantly, it took like 3 different people sending me the John Oliver thing for me to even watch that. Because it's like, no, it's not a joke. Sure, it was funny when we knew there was no chance of him winning, but now that these hate-filled morons are supporting him, it's not funny. This isn't cool I don't like joking about it. I don't like talking about it.
But don't you think it should be talked about to create awareness to the people that don't know who Donald Trump is, to try to dissuade them?
Who are those people?
How do you not know who Donald Trump is?
The people that are voting for him simply because of...
Know exactly who he is. Like, nothing...
They know what he's presented as, but they might not know who he really is.
And if you go up and say, like, so, you know, okay, you want to vote for him. Here's what he said about the Mexican people. Well, he's just saying like it is. He's calling them like he sees them. Okay, well, you know... You say, well, what about, you know, these Syrian refugees? He wants to actually, like, label Muslims and make them identify. Like, you know, you don't think that's a behavior that we might have seen before in the early stages? Hey, you know, if just one life is prevented, yeah, round them up. No, these people know exactly who he is, and they're embracing it. It's like the thing that – it's the problem that I have with – I don't want to put a name out there, but they know they're ignorant. But instead of taking that knowledge and expanding on it and taking that opportunity, they just curl up in a little ball of it. And nope, he's right. He's the guy. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And that's why I don't listen to it when you guys bring it up on other shows. I didn't want to talk about it because it doesn't, there's no entertainment in it for me.
It's not always about entertainment, though.
Which is fine, but the way that you guys always talk about it is it's usually in like a, you know, you're making jokes, you're laughing about it. And not just you guys, like everyone that, John Oliver did it, Jimmy Kimmel does it, everyone. It really doesn't feel like to me that the gravity of what is actually happening is being recognized, and it drives me insane.
But that's my defense mechanism, is that when I'm uncomfortable, I make jokes about things. I put it in a humorous light, or I try to, I don't know how funny I am. But I try to, that's how I talk about things, because when you talk about things seriously, people don't want to listen. Like, how many people actually looked into Trump's history and went, okay, all this stuff is terrible, like the settling lawsuits and stuff like that, versus how many people found out about it through John Oliver because he does it in a funny way and everybody goes, oh, that's entertaining. The same people that watch, they don't watch the news. They get their news from Jon Stewart or got their news from Jon Stewart. Mm-hmm. You know, those people. Sometimes you have to put a humorous spin on it to get people talking about it, and anything that gets people talking about it is a good way to do it.
And really,
if it worked,
right?
Which it's not in Donald Trump's case. You're absolutely right. He could come out tomorrow, say, I think all black people should be sent back to Africa, and his numbers would spike.
Yeah.
Somehow. It's baffling.
And it's because of the demographic that he appeals to.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I feel bad. I really do feel bad. Like, I hate upsetting the 5-star man.
It's not you. It's fucking him.
But I brought him into this world today.
Well, then you should be ashamed.
At this moment, I am ashamed.
Time to bring him out, Shannon.
I've advocated that someone should murder him this whole time. I'll continue to advocate that. Someone needs to come back in through time. To stop him.
Well, that was one of the John Oliver things, is because he said
this would be the date where people would come back.
Yeah, the time travelers come back too.
I'm gonna get in trouble one day for saying someone should murder him.
You probably are. Yeah. One of my
favorite, I'm not joking. That's
no, yeah. One of my favorite. So cracked.com is one of my favorite websites. Less so now, but the authors that I really liked have moved on to other things, mostly videos. But Daniel O'Brien is one of the greatest things to come out of that website. He actually has a really great book called How to Fight Presidents, which is hilarious. I actually have it. I will lend it to you because I think you like it. But as he's doing research on, like, okay, how would I beat up Barack Obama? You know, he's doing this research, like, on how, like, military history and stuff like that. And it actually ended it, like, it put him on, like, the Secret Service came and talked to him. Like, they called.
He got put on a list.
They called, he's on a no-fly list. I think he's still on it.
Wow.
And then the Secret Service called him, and there's a, I think it's the foreword or the afterword or whatever in the book. And he's talking about, like, the first guy that calls him is just like, hey, you know, Daniel, what's going on? My name's Mike. Listen, there's this thing that, you know, you've been doing some things. Do you think you could come by the office and, you know, it's nothing, you know, we'll just talk. It's cool. Yeah. Okay. I'll go talk to Mike. When he got to the office, Mike wasn't there. It was a much less friendly seeming guy.
It was a bait and switch.
Yeah. And so, but it's really, I really suggest it because it's one, it's just a hilarious book, and it's also a neat way of learning different things about the various presidents.
Well, I just want to state now, in case anybody calls me, I don't think anyone should actually kill Donald Trump. I just think they should stop him from ever getting anywhere near the presidency of the United States.
Yeah.
That'd be fine for me. And that's going to do it for us tonight.
Yay.
So, yeah. I've never seen Asa so happy to get a show done.
Yay.
Ethan and Allie and Asa, thank you. Asa especially, thank you. Sorry.
Sometime this week, maybe, us doing Mortal Kombat streaming.
Us do a show that doesn't...
Well, the Mortal Kombat stream, because the new characters came out. And
that's what I
thought that would be fun.
That's what I wanted to talk about tonight, honestly. I wanted to talk about Mortal Kombat and, like, the Ghostbusters board game.
Mm-hmm.
But then when there was a third mic out and Allie was putting it on, and then I was like, Ethan, why don't you join in? I thought, I want to talk about something that everyone can get involved with. And I know Allie especially doesn't give a shit about Mortal Kombat, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a dark turn somewhere during the show. And I think it was at the beginning when we had no topic. And I saw something on my Facebook as I was looking at something that said Pornhub. And I thought, well, that could be interesting to talk about. And it went poorly for the first 10, 15 minutes or so. And then it went worse. And then the Black Lives Matter, whether or not you agree with it, it could maybe redeemed it a little bit. But it was an uncomfortable episode just from beginning to end. So... you're welcome, Internet.
So for those of you still listening.
Which I bet they are. I bet I'll get 10 messages tomorrow saying, hey, great show last night. Because when we argue, everyone's happier.
You're probably going to get like the messages like, so are you guys cool?
Is everything okay?
Which we're not.
Are we not?
Nobody at this table is cool anymore.
Are we not?
I am going to get a call from Mike tomorrow. He's going to ask me to come in and talk.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was like, I forgot that was the name of the fake Secret Service guy that I used. I was like, wait, who's
Mike?
Were
you just making space? What?
And then I go and it was Lamont. Yeah,
and
like,
then Mike, you go and it's Michael Branham.
Like, Mike Branham.
Hey, Shannon.
Mike Branham calls me in. I just want to talk to you about Ninja Turtles.
So about the TurtleCon. Which, by the way, Michael Branham, sometime in July, I'm getting a Ninja Turtle board game that I'm assuming is very similar to the Ghostbusters one.
Which we had a lot of fun with tonight.
Yeah, that was
that
very
was really good.
Very fun game.
We didn't want to do it. And that's the reason this podcast, partially why it was so awkward, because we didn't really want to do
midway,
we wanted to play the game.
Like, 10 minutes into this show, I was like, boy, we should have just streamed Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, but, you know.
Which maybe we can do that sometime this week.
We should.
Because I still think that'll be fun.
We'll announce it on Facebook and maybe we'll try to get it to where we can save it. Cause I don't know how Twitch works. Calvin tried to set it up for me, but I know the YouTube, once you record it, it mm-hmm. saves it.
It saves yep. it.
Yeah. And then we can put it out YouTube. And say, hey, if you missed the live stream, watch this.
Well, I know Twitch does that too because of all the, I went
it
back
does,
and watched
but I don't
all
know
the
how
old
to do
combat
it.
Casts.
Twitch said, Twitch. Calvin said that he.
Did we just find Calvin's nickname? Twitch.
Twitch. Calvin said that he hooked it up. On
yeah,
your
but
account
Calvin says a lot of
that.
Things.
He does.
Calvin said he could close that gate.
I'm not going to lie.
And we got more ghosts out.
I'm not going to lie. I've literally been a part of Twitch other than just like watching the live streams from the Mortal Kombat one for maybe a solid like 2 hours now. But I feel like it can't be that hard to figure it out.
I've had my personal Twitch channel for like a couple months and I still haven't even figured out how to use it.
I'll say, yeah, just because Calvin said well, the, it. I mean, Calvin also says Venusaur is the best.
Oh, I didn't get to say anything about that.
He's doing
next
his
time,
best.
Next time.
Because the argument we heard today was epic.
Yes.
But no, the 5-star man is on the case. I'll get it figured out.
Good. And then we can do that and talk about happy things and not prostitution, porn, Trump, and dead black people. Jesus Christ, what happened to this show? So we'll be back tomorrow with pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Which we actually have.
Speaking of a dark show.
What was? Oh. Why?
Because everything's awful.
No, we can talk about the weekend.
We can review the live show.
Yeah, I mean, small preview. We mentioned that Xavier Woods might be coming by to hang out with us, and he did.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. Yes. We hung out with Xavier Woods. We went to the live WWE show. Whether you like wrestling or not, it's still great to see live.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about our experiences tomorrow along with what happened on Raw and the usual stuff.
Which I don't think a whole lot even really happened on Raw.
Well, actually, set up that big Triple H.
I was going to say that's not true. Actually, about there was I can think of at least like three pretty big things that happened.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that tomorrow. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Even if you didn't really enjoy it, if you got to talking, maybe we did our part. For Asa, Ethan, and Allie, myself, thank you for listening. Allie, take us out.
I'm bad at this. Don't do this.
Ethan, take us out.
Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for watching, listening. I can do words too. Turn it off.